Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to another episode of the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. Today we are covering Season 2, Episodes 3 and 4, Shiro's Escape and Greening the Cube. And guys, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Break free.
You really can't have something with escape without a song like this.
I'm sure, yeah, so like for the year that he was imprisoned by the Gullera, he would just hum this to himself? Is that what you're saying?
Brokenly as he's huddled in his cell recovering from his latest fight.
We made it sad.
What's happening?
Who's we? You got a mouse in your pocket?
Terrifying.
This is what I did. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
This is what I do. Hello, Voltron fans. Welcome back. We are having a grand old time tonight. We are looking at Season 2, Episodes 3 and 4, Shiro's Escape and Greening the Cube, which is an odd but fitting title. Of course, with me, I have my lovely, wonderful human beings. We have Blue Line Alexis Torres,
who's already broken.
Didn't take long.
You can find me being broken in a corner somewhere from Katie and Megan at atorres890.
Yellow Line Mark Donica.
I'm corporeal. It's absolutely wonderful to be joining the panel. This happened by chance. The fan was just asking who the Yellow Line was. Why not? It's wonderful to be here. Thank you. Find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica.
Green Lion Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
And I'm Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at KiaJ. That is KIAXET. We have our hashtag ABTVVoltron. We have our live chat. If you have something fun to say, feel free to talk about it in either of those. So you know, we are not talking about anything beyond episodes 3 and 4. Mark has not finished the series. The rest of us have, but we are keeping it spoiler free. So for
Bless
now,
you.
Please keep the live chat spoiler free. Please keep the hashtag spoiler free. And for the love of God, please keep the comments spoiler free. I got spoiled by people in the comments last week before I got a chance to watch the rest of the season. Yeah. So please don't do that to people who are watching along with our after shows and have not binged things yet. You guys are usually really good at this, and I'm really sad that that occurred.
Because we usually have a good track record with all of the Netflix shows.
Usually people are really, really good at that. So I'm a little disappointed in last week, so please keep things spoiler-free. It's very considerate to your fellow fans and to your hosts. For those of you wondering, our Red Lion, Emma Fife, is actually at Anime Los Angeles this weekend. So if you're there, go say hi to her. It'll be super fun, but yeah, that is her special mission this weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about these episodes. What do you guys think? Did Chad say something?
No. No, that's me actually reacting to these past two episodes, because I was just like, oh my god, so much stuff. But at the same time, I was also really proud of our chat, because as you said earlier, we did have spoilers last week when Jeremy was on, and the entire chat that's usually there from last season was like, no spoilers, don't look at the chat, guys. So I just wanted to say I'm very proud of all of you.
Thank you guys for giving us a heads up.
We have the best regulars in this bar.
I know, it makes me so happy.
You do.
But yeah, no, spores. That was my...
spore snow fight.
That was cool.
Snowball fight.
Oh my god. It was nice for me because I got to see snow for the first time this past winter, and I had my first snowball fight, so it was kind of cool. I mean, I think it would have been cooler if it was spores, even though in my brain I was like, don't throw that, you don't know what's in it, but like
stupid feeble earthling. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what you're touching, for the love of god.
Alright, let's do this backwards. Let's cover greening the cube for now.
They could have gotten the space plague by
I've seen so many fan fictions start like this and they never go anywhere good.
I was scared.
This could have turned into a disaster for everyone involved.
It really could. It could have turned into some weird space disease episode or possession or just weird stuff. And instead it was just like, lol, this is great. Okay, let's move on to the actual stuff now.
But I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where it has very little to do with the actual plot of the episode, but nobody knows how it can affect a human's biology.
Yeah.
Could have been whatever.
Made them grow an extra arm.
However, their suits are sealed for the vacuum of space.
True.
They had to be.
Yeah.
And then they literally had to be.
They did hop in to get decontaminated.
That decontamination scene was hysterical, because I love how Keith was just like this the entire time.
I like, even though we're sitting here going like, why would you all do that? That seems like a terrible idea. I really loved that scene because
Pidge
it shows
blown over three different times.
Well, yeah. I loved both the fight and the decontamination scene because it's one of those things where you're reminded how much not only are they teammates, they're friends now.
Yeah.
And, you know, even seeing Shiro get into it is always really enjoyable. It's like, he can have joy in his life again. This is great.
God. I love that when he gets hit by Pidge, or not Pidge, or whoever.
Lance.
Yeah, Lance, and he's just like...
That's just doing the whole, remember you're training from the garrison, we need to do this.
And then he just seriously.
So imagine if he had, like, flashbacks and like it triggered something of him on like the Gara ship, and he just wakes up and they're all just pieces in space.
They've
covered
all been
in space snow.
Sliced.
Why are you betraying me? That's usually Katie's job. What just happened?
Welcome.
I don't think I've gone Stop quite it. That graphic. I just suggested that Pidge accidentally killed her own family.
No, that's
a- Keep bringing it up. Though I will say it is nice to see Shiro sort of cool off, because he's usually like type A, like, no, we have to everybody stay on guard, like, chill, bro.
Yeah. It's nice that we get to see Space Dad have fun. I keep remembering, like, who
Lance,
does
Lance,
the best
Lance.
The laser sounds. Yep. And so now we get him participating in the snowball fight, and he was participating in the food fight last season because he didn't have a choice, but nonetheless, like, we get these moments of, oh yeah, he's still really young.
Yeah,
he's younger than we are, you guys.
Is he 24 or 25? Or
I thought it was at least 25, 26.
Yeah, he's young,
very.
Yeah.
He's younger than we are.
Okay, so 25.
Yeah.
Kevin
and he's
Wynn
taking
in chat.
Care of a bunch of teenagers.
Kevin Wynn in chat. Let Shiro be happy. Hashtag let Shiro be happy.
Hashtag let Shiro be happy.
That's fine.
I need that. Someone make that like a tag week in Tumblr and everyone just do happy fan art.
Aww,
just do it.
As nothing bad ever happened to them ever again.
And the people who are writing season 3 are kind of looking at us like... You sure?
Shiro's 25 by Timberwolf 410. So
yeah. Okay, cool. But yeah, so like...
So yeah, we have a not-quite snowball fight, and it turns out that the spores have been programmed, and there's a lot of question as to why.
And also how?
Yeah.
Matrix snow.
There's a distress signal in them that's essentially the Galra are invading, oh god, oh god.
Mm-hmm.
From the planet Olkarion, home of the Olkari, who are evidently these, like, crazy techno-wizards.
Yeah. I love when Keith uses terms like, why would literal techno-wizards...
It's like, they can program an entire computer inside a block of steel. I'm like, oh my god!
So cool.
They are gods. And they gave Koran a yak back.
I think, yeah, that was the first thing I thought of. That's what it is. And that's what I thought of when he did it. When he's like, look how cool this is. I was like, oh my god, that was me in the 90s going, oh my god, guys, look at this.
Did you guys have a talk boy? Girl?
The Kevin McAllister classic?
That's the one.
I had a yak backwards. Where you could record a bit and then hit reverse, and it would play. I did that with songs off the radio all the time.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they would do that. We're playing the song backwards. You have to guess what it is. So I'd record it and then play it backwards, and it would be the song.
Cheater.
I was like 10. I was too young to call in and win anything.
She was just trying to game the system.
I was using the technology of the time. God.
This is why Katie's the black one. Write that in there.
Willing to do anything to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they gave Koran a yak back, which is still one of my bless the ridiculous gags that you can get with a yak back.
Yep. I just hearing more. I already enjoyed having Koran becoming younger. I don't know if I can handle having a bunch of Korans talking at the same time. That was insane.
Yeah, at the very end when it's just a chorus of Koran.
Too much.
I love doing the fart noise into them though. And just having the chorus of like, God bless.
And we get right
They're
back
so
to the snowball fight maturity level.
Yeah.
Well, they are still teenagers. Mm-hmm. They're teenagers in a military academy, but they're teenagers.
Yeah, no, correct.
I mean, I work at a school. I work with about this maturity level all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, no, this is pretty accurate. They can absolutely step up when they need to, but... This is a thing that occurs a lot.
Now, I know people that are our age who actually...
Oh, yeah. Even a little older. Well, I'm talking to you, Sarah Pera.
Let's not say it's just teenagers.
Yeah. No, in regards to that comment, Yellow Lion checking in. I mean, 100%.
We're so happy to have you.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
I'm the bane of other shows here when I engineer them. They're like, what the hell is in my headset? And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's just me. Sorry, I'm a weirdo.
That's why we
keep you.
Yeah,
Kran, but Kran, yeah, the gorgeous
it,
man.
It is cool that, like, the Alkari can, like, essentially, because, like, something that's really cool is the idea of being able to program, like, matter.
And nature.
And that's essentially what they've been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can make mech suits out of trees. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I mean, and you knew this was going to be a Pidge episode from the beginning because she just intuitively figures out the repair that they need to do on the ship, even though we still don't speak their weird gibberish language sometimes.
Mm.
We try, but it doesn't always work.
Science.
No, I just love how, like, she's just like, she just peeks up and she's like, oh my god!
Yeah.
And just the lecture about Turing and the Turing machine. And I'm like, yes! Yes!
Simpler, please. We said speak... I don't remember this episode. I was like, speak English! We said English! Simpler!
I don't think it was this episode. I think it was one of the next ones. But yeah,
okay, I did like I did like how he's giving her instructions, though, or he's giving them instructions on, like, how to fix it, and he uses, like, very specific terminology, and they're like, yeah, that doesn't help.
No.
And and the princess, well-meaning, is like, ignore him. This is what you need to do. It's like, that doesn't help at all.
It's like, it's the other weird gibberish terminology. And it's like, I'm sure that makes plenty of sense to you, but we don't speak that. Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. The universal translation software in the castle just did not catch those terms. There is no English equivalent. I don't know.
Yeah, I was very confused about that because I was sitting there going, how are we now conversing? How did language? Confused.
I'm going with the castle as translation software. It's like the TARDIS.
Just roll with it.
They didn't feel the need to address it, so it's just a thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to roll. Yeah, I liked seeing the Alkari. I liked seeing these people who had been these technological geniuses adapt to nature and essentially become tree people.
Yeah, and they've made their world in their own, you know, special way with nature and stuff like that, besides obviously our weird death cube that we had.
Wooden mech suits, life cube. Though.
Or life,
death cube.
I just want, I'm surprised, I know we were super plot heavy in season one, but I'm surprised that it took this long to get this Pidge heavy of an episode. I'm really happy we did, but it's like everybody else got their lion's special ability, like in the last season.
It kind was of. Not it was really? More like the Bayard stuff. This season, and we had it a little bit in episode two with Lance being underwater.
Mm-hmm.
But like this season, it seems like with this episode, it seems like we're touching a little bit more on the elemental side of the lions. You
and
know,
lion fire, relationships
water.
Between
exactly.
Them. We did so get cool. The fire and ice beams in season one, but. Like, start at the very end of season one, we got the cannon on Red's back, and then we got the sonic cannon on Blue. And so this is that same idea, but with the green lion.
Solar beam.
Yeah, and I'm sure at some point we'll be on a planet that has like a volcano on it, and the red lion will get a power boost by hopping into the lava or something.
I mean, we did get his during the fight with Zarkon.
We did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a move of sheer desperation, because at this point, I'm sure Red is just like, oh, God. This is the idiot I adopted. Fine. I'm keeping him.
I think he's slowly, you know, warming up to Keith. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter, because the blue lion and I are very happy together.
And I'm like,
very happy.
I was like, all right, Lance, calm down. I'm speaking from the blue lion on the panel. Chill out.
And this, as much as I enjoyed this episode, it was very obviously going to be very Pidge heavy, and this is where she learns that nature isn't all bad, and that you can do that. I get that the concepts were there, but there was just something lacking for me in the execution, and I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was we spent too much time doing too many things and didn't have enough time to really focus, because it's like, okay, the green lion gets shot down. We have a moment of I am one with nature, and suddenly things work again. Mm-hmm. I feel like that almost wasn't earned.
Mm-hmm.
We spent too much time on the snowball fight and the spores and rescuing the king, who was actually kind of a jerk, and all this other stuff, and we didn't get quite as much with Pidge.
You know what it is, I think this is a classic example, because I don't think there's a single bad episode of Voltron.
No.
Sure,
but like, I think what this is it's a problem of telling instead of showing.
Yeah.
She has to explain, I'm not one with nature. I'm not a fan of it. Oh, poison oak. It's just the worst. As opposed to her being put in a nature situation and us seeing how uncomfortable it makes her, how much of it makes her feel out of her element, as opposed to just saying, yeah, no, not my thing. And then at the end of the episode going, yeah, I didn't think it was my thing, but I guess it's my thing.
Yeah. You have to bond with your lion. I did bond with my lion. Bond harder.
Do better. Do better.
I think that's like the best way I can describe it, because that's at least that episode, because I always felt like someone was, because I have a roommate that does that, where he's just like, anytime I'm playing a video game, he's just like, do better. And so I think that's what it felt like.
That is literally everyone I've ever played Overwatch with.
No, yeah, no, for real. Sorry, I didn't
mean to
just like,
sorry,
but like, yeah, that's exactly how my roommate is. He's just like, hey,
it seems
how
like
you
this
doing?
This was originally probably supposed to be a 2-part episode.
Probably. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Especially with the break-in being
as big a part of it as it was.
But still just being, all right, we're gonna talk about the plan and then just show it to you while we're doing it. Yeah. As opposed to, hey, we have to break in. Let's go. And then they show the little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. But I did like how quick... I like the idea where it... Technology and like the Saganism of it all, where it's like we all made of the same
cosmic dust.
Yeah.
That was a nice message to take away from it.
I liked that, and I especially liked honestly what we had for Keith's takeaway from that, because this is a guy who is presumably an orphan and presumably did not have anyone else once Shiro left for Kerberos, and then, oh, by the way, he's dead. You are alone in your little desert hobo shack for the rest of your life. Have fun.
Jesus.
So this guy who's probably been alone for a good chunk of time, having this moment of, okay, we're all connected. Mm-hmm. We can all... And it was just, it looked like it was this revelation for him. And that, to me, was one of the most genuine moments in the episode.
And now let's all make fun of him.
That's part of why it bothered me, because I feel like we should have had that genuine moment with Pidge.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite there. But Keith has had a season and some change of buildup of he's a loner, he doesn't get along with people, and learning to get around that, and learning to be a team, and then... Oh, here's your connection to the rest of the universe.
Yeah, her learning a lesson for him to be the one to have a takeaway. Yeah, that is a little odd.
Yeah, so especially when you put it that way. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about it that way. Sorry,
especially for somebody with a secret knife.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad episode by any means, but I feel like it wasn't polished.
Yeah,
like,
and
the
like,
execution wasn't there.
No, correct.
And it's one of those things too, where like having all of these nature weapons is really awesome. So cool. Having tree mechs is really awesome. Why did we need tree mechs if we didn't end up because they used them for reconnaissance?
We went to the edge of the city and then we went back and got the lion.
Because it's pretty, Megan. It's pretty.
I don't know.
But yeah, it's like they could have achieved literally the exact same thing by hopping into the green lion and just putting on the camouflage.
That's why I think it was supposed to be a 2-part episode, because we didn't get the viewed lesson of why they didn't use the mechs. Like, it seems like there would have been an action scene with the mechs, and then
like there should have been something.
Oh, this is a dumb idea. Let's retreat. Whoops. And then then we get the rest of the episode.
This was cool on paper, but yeah, no, we need our lines.
Yeah.
We'll scratch that.
good try, everyone. Okay. Good try.
That was a good try, Ron.
We should talk about The Cube. I feel like there was a horror movie called The Cube at some point, but I don't think it was about anything like this.
No. So, you know how last season there was that one robeast that looked like an angel?
The lizard!
Yeah! This season, this reminded me of the diamond-looking angel from Evangelion.
Oh,
especially with
the
way it's like shooting lasers and everything like that. I was like, ooh, breakthrough, it's ATV.
And this is a horrifying but incredibly effective weapon, because it learns, it absorbs powers and reflects them back, even stuff like the ice beam.
Yeah, that freaked me out.
And then
like,
if you cut it in half,
it goes all
it
Sorcerer's
just
Apprentice
becomes
on
more
you.
Cubes.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to do. I couldn't remember that reference. Thank you for that.
I feel like this episode required Shiro picking up the idiot ball and running with it for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, these are some incredibly bad decisions.
I think it was worse than that. It was like when you play fake fetch with a dog. So like you like tricked him by pretending you threw it, and he chased after it, but you still had it the whole time. Like, it was that bad of a decision. He's just like, dude, how are you this tactically ignorant? How can you not notice a pattern?
And even Pidge pitching in and saying, I don't think we should do that, and then getting overrun. Like, okay, we get it, but also, come on.
Whatever, bigger gun!
it was weird when they decided, let's use the cannon, like a different cannon. I was like, if it didn't work the first time, why are we doing
it
again?
Hit it harder!
Yeah, do better!
It's the old football chant. Hit him again, harder!
Yeah, and it was just weird.
But that gun goes to 11.
Sure! Yeah, that's fine. But it was a weird episode for me to be like, I feel like you guys are smarter than this. How did this happen?
Yeah, like I said, execution. We had to have the cube split up. We had to have them split it back in the lion so Pidge could have the moment.
Yeah.
But we had to get there very quickly, and the expedient route wasn't necessarily one that rang true to everyone.
Yeah, and talking about how this felt like it was supposed to be too, we had that moment between the king and, like, his servant, who I don't even think... He got a name, but,
I didn't even write it down. The king said his name, but he said it once.
He said it one time, and I feel like when he shoves him into Team Voltron to be captured, and he's like, oh my gosh, what's this deal? And he's like,
I'm tired of living this lie
anymore. And it's like, I feel like this should be a bigger emotional moment.
Yeah.
Because then we never see him for the rest of the episode either. Yeah, and I feel like we were supposed to care.
And what stood out to me about that guy was that he was dressed in a Galra prisoner's uniform.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that for you guys, because I was like, was that just me?
That wasn't just normal? That is the Galra prisoner / gladiator uniform.
Just give them a burlap sack.
Well, he may have just been pulled, like, Lubos may have just been like, yo, I need somebody. So just, I don't care, just pull somebody.
Yeah.
So somebody who was on the workforce, who learns about this lie to his society, and he can't say a thing about it. It should have been a bigger one.
The other Olkari, even the ones who had to work on the cube, were still kind of wearing their own clothes.
Mm.
This guy was the only one that was in the prisoner uniform.
Maybe it's just because he was inside.
I feel like they were all of the workers were wearing the same uniform.
I don't think we got to see the front of it, because we only saw their backs technically while they were working. So
I feel like they were all wearing the same thing, though.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Chat,
I need to rewatch it again.
Chat, let us know.
Yeah.
Just let us know. Chat knows these things and has the Google.
But yeah, it felt like it should have been a bigger, like, it should have had more emotional impact.
Yeah,
like it was a bigger story, and then they just kind of took out the things that were a little less necessary and then stitched things together.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a bad episode.
It's just this.
But we could just kind of see the potential and then see where it actually went.
Yeah, this should have been our Balmera two-parter, like we had last season.
Yeah.
Wow, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
Jet33 in the chat says, Pidge sapped all the intelligence this episode. So that's why nobody else had it.
I also like the comment from James Foran, who's like, when the butler pushed Lubos, I was thinking, Julie, do the thing! And I was like, I love that! Because I have a friend whose name is Julie Lee, but like I shorten it, so I'm like, Julie, do the thing! And so that's just what I'm talking
about. Also in chat, apparently the leader in the forest group of the Okari, was the same actress who voiced Lynn.
Yeah!
Oh, that's perfect. Mm. I thought she sounded familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked her, too. Like, I thought she was really interesting, and I like that she became the new leader of the society when they deposed their, you know, corrupt king.
Well, I mean, she became the de facto leader, and they were still, like, did anyone notice that they were swearing by their king's name?
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Again, reasons that I feel like this should have been a lot deeper.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, this guy is revered.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that what Mark said, the fact that it should have been a two-parter, I think it would have been nicer, because I felt like there's a lot of chunks that I was just like, I feel like we needed more.
I will say, I did like the moment where she does connect with her line. Mm-hmm. But a lot of this did, like I thought the animation was great. But talking about bits that are rushed, you know, when Reiner, like, puts her hand on the lion and can communicate with Pridge, she's like, how can you be doing this? She's like, there's no time for that now.
I hate when they do that, but it's fun.
Please tell me how to do telepathy through metal? Holy cow.
It reminds me of an early part in Destiny where there's a character who says, I don't have enough time to tell you why I don't have enough time to tell you this.
Oh, like, the really Guardian?
Yeah, from the future. Yeah.
If you spent less time saying you don't have time, you'd probably save a lot of time.
There's no time!
Yeah. I was like, we get it, okay.
I love that Steve has hashtag do better up in our notes.
It's like a part of my life, and so it's weird seeing it now, right now.
Hashtag do better!
I can hear my roommate's voice.
Alright, do we have any other things to say about greening the cube?
Nothing that we're not going to touch on in, I think, the other episode.
Yeah, because there's a touch at the end, but it kind of goes hand in hand with our other episode.
Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited for both about the potential planetary alliances that are. The Voltron alliance.
Yeah, we need to talk about what the Green Lion does.
Yeah.
It shoots plant life.
Spores.
Yeah. And like it explodes and like envelops you and like
growth.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was what it was going to do until it actually happened, and I was like, this is actually the coolest gun cannon out of all the ones that I've seen so far.
Yeah, that is so interesting, and it's such a versatile power. Mm-hmm.
And it like I see into the future. This can help restore planets that are dead.
Yeah.
To the former glory.
Yeah, no, and like, for it might even, I don't know what effect it would have if she, like, fired it at a spaceship, but I feel like that would be enough to bring an entire spaceship down.
Right? If you got it into the engine, then yeah.
Or just split it in half.
No time to explain!
Hashtag no time to explain.
Thank you, Steve. Timberwolf in the chat said exploding space vines is what he thought of.
I like love
that.
It.
That's cool. I'm
and it's not
that.
An energy-based weapon.
No!
Almost everything else they have, with the exception of the sword, is an energy-based weapon. And so to have something that just has this completely different power set with completely different uses.
Yeah, I wonder.
I'm excited.
I wonder if you would even need quintessence to use this particular gun, or if, like Mark said, like restoring planets, if it could restore a planet's quintessence to an extent.
Well, it seemed to be used more offensively than as a restoration. There might be a latent power with the Green Lion being the guardian of the forest and whatnot. Mm.
Makes sense.
But
and maybe a little bit more connection between Pidge and the Green Lion may make that power stronger.
Yeah. I mean,
like
they've only been doing this for a couple of months.
they are learning as they go.
For not very long. Mm-hmm. And they are doing a bang-up job for doing this for not very long.
Has anybody read the owner's manual while they've had down?
No, it's in Altaïan!
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's not even in Altaïan.
Yeah.
It'll turn into the exchange at the top. It's like, oh, you just got to do this, that, and the other thing. I don't know what that means.
Does not compute.
I'm just going to feel it out.
Just written language. All right, let's do this. Okay, so before we switch over to our other episode, I want to chat you up real quick about iTunes. Because that is how you keep our show on the air, you guys. Thank you so much to everyone who has gone into iTunes, who has subscribed to the podcast, who's left a rating, who's left us a review. We really do appreciate that. And when you do that, it helps us as a show stay on the air, because our producers do go into iTunes, they do look at our reviews, and they say, hey, these people really like this show. We should continue to have our host talk about giant robots.
It's true.
And here we are on, for most of us, our second or third giant robot show. This is a thing. Also, when you leave iTunes reviews, it bumps up our rating in the iTunes podcast system and makes us more visible to other people. So other people who are searching for Voltron in podcasts, the more you leave reviews, the more they'll see this one. So it helps us, it helps us stay on the air, it helps us find new viewers and listeners and all that fun stuff. And seriously, when you do the thing, we adore you, we appreciate it, and you get a shout out. I don't know if we have anything new in the American iTunes store, but we have a new iTunes review from Danilo R. Costa, who left it in a different iTunes store, took a screen cap of it, and put it in the hashtag on Twitter, which is what we ask you to do when you leave a review in a non-American iTunes store, because we have a difficult time trying to find those, same as if you leave a review in the podcast area of Google Music. Screen cap it, throw it in the hashtag, life is good. This one's called Dumpster Fire for Life. One of the best shows at AfterBuzz. So cool to hear these amazing women talking about giant robots. I've tried so hard to watch only a couple of episodes each day, but ended up watching the whole season in 3 days. I applaud anyone who didn't binge watch this show. You clearly have self-control.
No, I just have two jobs.
And really good social media filter. And good social media filters because, yeah, spoilers for days, y'all.
Yep.
But thank you so much for leaving the review. Seriously, guys, just rate, comment, subscribe. We adore you. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Let's talk about Shiro's escape.
Ooh.
Let's lie on the floor crying.
I really like how at the end of episode, at the end of the last after show, I don't remember who said it, but someone's like, I really hope we get more about Shiro and how he escaped. And then I just turned on the first thing and I just see
Shiro's escape.
I'm like, wow, nailed that. On
Did
top
it,
of
ask,
it.
And ye shall receive. I'm so sorry.
And this is a question fandom has, and I have it too. So last we saw Shiro, he was in his armor and his undersuit was ripped up. And then we see him in this healing pod and he's in this white jumpsuit. Who dressed him?
Corinne.
Yeah. I was like, Corinne.
Yeah.
Because
whenever they throw someone in a healing pod, they're always in a white jumpsuit. Ooh. And it's like, whose job is this?
Well, Luke was in a diaper, so...
I mean, that's true.
It could definitely be worse. Actually, we did have one more.
Did we? Yeah. I missed it entirely. Please
it wasn't
do
in the hashtag.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't in the hashtag. They tagged us directly. Hiatus cured. The show is amazing, the jokes are great, and the dynamic between everyone is brilliant. The show is great, and the after show really does this crazy lion dumpster fire justice.
I love
that. Was from Elisa Thomas from the Australian iTunes store.
Aww. I love that we have now made the Galra dumpster fire thing. Like, it's spreading.
I sincerely need spreading. Just a Galra Empire dumpster fire t-shirt.
I want it so bad.
I am not a good enough graphic designer to make it myself.
I might be able to do that.
Yeah! If I would put it in my Tee Public store and everyone could wear dumpster fires. But that's life.
Fair.
So, yeah, we have Shiro in the healing pod to get rid of his glowy alien wound that's getting bigger all the time.
Space nightmares!
And I love the comment about he looks like he's dreaming. Well, the healing pod can cause irregular brain waves, and it straight up jogs his memory. And we get this lovely little scene of him strapped to a table screaming, which is like, great, great, perfect. I pause the episode, get another drink, and push play.
real quick question, though, guys. Were you disappointed that the only flashback that we got only lasted a couple minutes? Because when I saw the title, Shiro's Escape, I thought the entire episode was going to be a flashback sequence.
See, I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I'm glad that we got to see at least how he technically escaped. We didn't need
or
to see...
Or so we think!
Yes. Or the fact of... But I did actually want to see the entirety of what his experience was besides the fact of him being a gladiator.
Yeah.
So, I'm
sure we will get, if not a full-on episode at some point, I'm sure we'll get it in bits and pieces, or we'll spend a good chunk of an episode in the future talking about it.
Yeah.
I would like to see someone run across video footage of some of the gladiator matches and have that.
What if it was like a found footage?
Oh my god.
Full horror.
Oh no. Someone who was a big fan of the gladiator matches and attended them all for posterity and recorded things.
Yes.
Editing them together.
It's a 22 minute long AMV. Shiro's gladiator.
I hope it's with Evanescence. It'll be amazing.
Then it switches into Linkin Park.
Yeah, no, that's all I want.
Headshot.
One step closer.
She was about to break. I was initially disappointed when it went back to a regular episode until we got the meat of the episode.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, because then it's leading more to the Voltron Alliance and things of that nature.
Yeah. The Galaxy Garrison.
Yeah, well, this episode just opened up. Well, we have this wonderful flashback, and we have a Galra named Ulaz basically knocking people out and going, you need to leave. They found the blue lion on your home planet. Here's the coordinates for the base. When you get it, get back. Now get the heck out of Dodge. Why are you? Because as a fighter and a leader, you bring hope. Now go!
I was like, also, I have to disappear. This is helping you is bad for me.
You'll never see me again.
I need help.
smoke bomb.
But how he's like telling you as he's like injecting, not injecting, but like, you know, downloading the stuff in there, and he's just like, what's happening?
And then he slaps him in the face. Yeah. He's like, I took your arm.
Well, yeah, I've just been drugged.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, wake up. Pull yourself together.
He's obviously been drugged. He's stumbling around the ship and running into canisters and stuff. Like, oh, honey.
Well, I was going to say, I do that like when I'm just walking down the street normally. So I don't blame him at all for being slightly clumsy when he's drunk. So
I just wake up, go to turn my alarm off, run into my wardrobe like, yeah, this is how life is.
Oh, man. I trip over sprinkler heads and land flat on my face.
Basically, none of us would make it in the arena. Let's be real.
Instantly dead.
Oh, 100%.
I would try.
In the can of butter.
But there's the detail that caught my eye for the escape is way at the end when he gets thrown into a pod from the explosion, and a drone gets thrown half in and then chomped in half by the doors, and it goes. For one, Shiro very obviously still had his memory at this point. Mm-hmm. So the question is, why is it gone now? Obviously, that's not something that Ulaz was planning mm-hmm. on. No mm-hmm. one planned on Shiro being an amnesiac. Well, so what happened?
I'm going to say that probably the explosion, as ex machina as you could think, is that the explosion, he hit that corner and the floor pretty freaking hard.
That's true.
So I'm going to assume that he was concussed, because I don't know how long it took for him to get from the ship to Earth. And he was out the entire time.
Being in cryo for that long in that state.
Yep. Well, and not to mention that I imagine his landing on Earth wasn't super smooth either.
He just remembered enough for plot convenience.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is like it, as we've talked about before, it could be part just repressing because of like mm-hmm. the terrible things that happened to him and that he had to do to survive. It could be head injury. It could be, and I like that they bring this up in the episode too, it could very well be Galra tampering.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that, like, we have these conversations about our theories about what we think could be happening, and then they'll have a discussion of, or they could have implanted those memories in you, but they would need an outside memory source, like your arm, with a direct connection to your brain, which it has.
Just, I love Hunk reasoning through it and being like, here's the reason not, well, okay, that exists. But then they would also need, yeah, we have that too. And then also, But yeah, the other detail, and this is for like way in the future stuff. There was half a Galra drone in that pod when it left, which means there was half a Galra drone in that pod when it landed.
Yep.
The Galaxy Garrison has that much alien technology in their hands right now.
Hmm. Oh, crap.
It's going to be real interesting when we get back to Earth.
Man, I can't wait.
It's going to be really, and I'm sure that's a win and not an if because of the way this show goes.
It's got to happen.
It's going to be a win. This is not an if. This is a win. But it's going to be really interesting because the planet's military installation now has access to alien technology, knowledge that there was another large piece of alien tech on the planet for a good chunk of time, and the footage from the Kerberos mission. Like, they know.
You know what would be interesting? You were talking about the Voltron Alliance, mm-hmm. where, you know, different planets in the galaxies come together to form this alliance. Wouldn't it be interesting if, by the time Earth kind of gets brought into the fold, if the Galaxy Garrison is not about joining said alliance. If, like, they have their own agenda, and they're we're not going to join this alien club. All these aliens are a potential threat to us.
Well, because I was thinking, because the fact that, like, Allura is how she's, like, Galra is evil, like, I feel like they would feel the same way, and even though we have the one evil that we should all be joining forces to fight, whether it is people of Galra or whatever, I think that Earth would be like, no, we're kind of selfish. We kind of want to do this on our own. We don't want any help.
I wrote this down because this line really stood out to me, especially right now. Because we were talking, because we're talking with Ulaz about, you know, well, why would you rebel against Zarkon? Don't you fight for, well, yeah, I fight for the Galra. We let this happen because we thought it would bring stability. A tyrant doesn't seek stability, only power.
Yep.
Let that one sink in, listeners.
That was a very timely release.
The best power.
It'll be the the best dumpster fire the galaxy has ever known.
It'll be huge. The fire will be all encompassing. Everyone will burn, but nobody will get hurt. It'll be wonderful.
But what I would like to imagine for when we go back to Earth
is that secretly,
Karan has been messaging all of the planets that are a part of the Alliance and been like, oh yeah, so we're gonna meet up on Earth at this time. So just head on over to Earth. We'll meet you there. And essentially all of the alien races are like, okay, cool. We gotta go head to Earth. And well, they head to Earth before Voltron gets there, and they're like, hey, so we have all these alien guys coming, and it's going to be like an awkward house party where the guests show up way too early. Yeah.
It's just the galaxy garrison, like, standing in the same room as, like the Alcari
the and they're just like,
the Balmerans.
The Balmerans, yeah.
Just like,
it's too bright on your planet. It really sucks.
We're just really sad the mermaids couldn't come.
Just imagine looking at the Balmerans. So, which one of you is a girl? Both of us.
So, yeah, no, just, are you a boy or a girl?
A girl?
You not tell?
No. Did you just assume my gender?
What are these strange human things that you speak of? We have five genders.
Yeah. But no,
why would aliens be binary?
No, correct.
One of the gender symbols is the prince one. Yeah, he just knew.
I knew it. He's part of the Balmerans.
He was actually Altaian and no one knew.
He's
hiding out from the Empire.
Oh my god. But no, I think the mermaids could totally be there. We'll just get a giant pool and it'll be fine.
We pull the coordinates from Shiro's arm. We get there. It is basically a crystal minefield.
That was so cool.
It was really beautiful.
Oh,
what a good design.
I know.
And then all of a sudden, there's an intruder on the ship. It's like, well, okay.
They never actually explained how he was able to get onto the ship. Because Alcor said, that's impossible. And then he never said, well, this is how I got on.
I just slapped some Benny Hill music on the next 2 minutes because that's what this chase was.
I'm sorry. I was with Lance on this one, which is, as much as I love my blue lion, there are times where I'm like, Lance, oh my god, shut up. But at this point in time, where literally when Karan was sports announcing the entire thing, and he was like, Karan, you're not helping. I literally said that right before Lance said it. I was like, Karan, what the hell? Shut up. You're not helping.
I was howling at the sports announcing.
So upset.
I love it when that sort of thing happens.
Mm-hmm. It's great because I love that literally they could just write anything for Karan because you have no idea what his examples
Wait,
are.
Do they write you for Rhys Darby?
You don't know that's right.
He might be improvising all of these names.
Well, you know
what
does.
Are these?
He did it for years on the Flight of the Conchords BBC show. So
I forgot he was on Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the actual names of the creatures that he's referring to.
Sure.
I'm like, I don't know if he's actually just thinking of these names or if the writer's like, here's a list of names. Go to town.
I think that these are, like, I would not be surprised if the series Bible has all of Altea in it. The geography, the socio-political climate, the economy, the flora and fauna. Like, I'm sure that they have a full resource for the planet and culture.
Okay.
And that they pull from it, but they also make it sound as awkwardly pseudo-German as possible.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. I'm like, are you just saying words? You could be saying, like, I don't know, pastry, and I wouldn't even know.
I mean, like, the accents above it and all the different syllables, but let's be real, these are German.
Yeah, and the fact that he talks so fast sometimes, I'm like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? it was cool. It was just, at the time, I'm like, Karan, can we not, please?
And we
lives are at stake.
And we get introduced to the idea of creating a space-time pocket.
So
that
cool.
A gravity generator created by an engineer named Slav is able to do that. So we get that device introduced to us.
I'm hoping that we get to use that as my that's
just
my prediction of
the
like
idea
maybe
of
the
like
later stuff.
Folding space-time.
Yeah. Like a space taco.
Which,
or a space calzone.
Or a space soup dumpling and we're the soup. He got through that part and I was like, I want soup dumpling.
No,
oh my
so
god, stop
hungry.
It. Although, is anybody
That's
else...
That's not fair.
As much as I want that to come back, is anybody else kind of worried about manipulating space-time when the princess was caught in a time loop at the very beginning of the season?
I feel like there's a lot of timey-wimey stuff that it's going to be a problem sometime
later
in
like
life.
I feel like this is also a different way of doing it because they're using a gravity generator, not the TARDIS.
True. So.
And not portal technology. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you're playing with portals.
oddly enough, you had your moment with Lance and the moment with Hunk talking about, oh, well, you would need a biological, which you have. I had that moment where I was like, along with him, it was like his hand. Yeah, like your arm? Yeah, okay. I had that moment too, as well as Space Taco. But I think this is leading to a surprise attack from either the Galra or Voltron, where it's like, oh man, you look so weak. Soik! And then, like, the entire force, the entire... Yeah,
and you just cool. Queue up Ride of the Valkyries.
Yeah.
Yes! I would like that very much.
Or the Immigrant Song.
Well, yeah. And that's...
Well, we're running a little short on time.
Oh,
there's
boy.
One,
gosh.
There's two big things we need to hit on in this episode that we haven't yet. One, Pro-Rock is a Robeast.
He looks like MODOK.
Yeah! I know! Because I was Robo-Modok. Sitting there going, it is a face and little teeny arms, and I know this. And she goes, he looks like the guy in the little chair. Like, the what's his name? Like, MODOK! We have a MODOK Robeast that sucks in explosives. And then laser beams. So it's like evil psychotic Kirby.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And I was like, ooh, cool.
Well, and this is two episodes in a row where it's essentially your attack gets blasted right back at you.
Noticing a theme. Yeah. And this is also, we were talking about this a little earlier, and you pointed this out, they've only ever beaten one Robeast.
Correct?
Yeah, the Balmera ate the other one.
Yeah, it was very helpful.
And then...
this one, Ulaz sacrificed himself.
Like, guy whose name I just forgot.
It's written on the board, right at the top, all in caps.
He's dead now. But here's, it's sad because he had answers. He had answers for Shiro, and now he's gone. But they've played it so well because with him gone, we still don't know whether or not, like, and with the way that they showed that Zarkon is able to track them, we don't know if, like...
Weird druid stuff.
Yeah, we don't know if, like, he's mentally connected to Shiro, or if they have some sort of, like, tracker technology in his arm.
I mean, we all thought that it was going to be that we at least
a tracking device in Shiro's arm,
which makes sense because he was able to put the coordinates in there. So there has to be
something.
It's just connected through Bluetooth.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. Yeah.
The other thing,
stop putting your Bluetooth on.
We really need to hit on is that this is the introduction of the Blade of Marmora,
woo!
Which is evidently a resistance / spy cabal. That has been working against the Galra Empire, that is made up of Galra, but has been working against the Galra Empire for a long time.
So excited.
Has a huge underground network. Commander Face is one of them, the one who let them out.
Presumably. We don't know for sure, but we can make the assumption that he is.
Well, we know he let them out, and then Ulaz says, how do you think you got out? Someone let you out.
Hmm.
I mean, this is two and two.
Yeah.
It's pretty, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, we have the introduction to that.
Carry the one? Yeah.
Yeah. 2 and 2 is, like, 65.
Anyway.
Spelling.
Grog math.
Sorry.
And there goes my train of thought. But it's basically the spy cabal. We have the coordinates to their main base, but Ulaz told them, don't go there until you figure out how you're getting tracked, because you could screw us all. Please don't. And Keith has a knife. Keith's knife, which has been bandaged for all of season one,
you get to see it,
has the same symbol as the one that Ulaz was carrying.
Mm.
So he has a blade from the Blade of Marmora, and we're all just kind of like, all right.
It seems like that can be used as a bargaining chip depending on how much communication each sect has. Keith just go, yo, I got one. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, sure, come on in.
That checks out.
It also gives credence to the fandom darling theory that Keith is part Galra.
Hmm. Yeah, which, like, people, we talked about a lot last season.
We had some evidence for that last season.
It's
that
sassy
this
cat.
Is, It's a Galra group, and Keith has one of their knives. Like,
I feel like there's enough evidence on this table that we're like,
we're just kind of looking very pointedly.
Well, you know you want to tell us.
Tell that he's conflicted. Like, he's not quite sure what to make of this, because we don't know much about his background. We just know that he's been alone for a long time, and that Shiro seems to be the only person he's connected to.
Yeah.
In any way, at the moment.
Hence, but having that really big moment of, we can connect to everyone. We're connected to the universe. Yeah. We're even connected to the Galra. We're like, he's trying to find something here.
Yeah,
and then he says that, and then 30 seconds later, Zarkon shows up.
Yeah, justify it to himself.
Especially when he said in the shipper, he's like, wait, there's actual Galra that's not, you know, trying
that
to
be bad. Yeah.
Yeah, that they're trying to be good. And I was like, oh, let me cling to that. I'm going to pretend like that's a thing.
Speaking of, I love that they're giving the Galra depth. We got it a little bit with that guard last season, but I like that I like that they're treating them like people.
Like
they're
the not Fire all Nation.
Just, yeah, they're not all bad.
The Dumpster Fire Nation.
Yeah.
The Dumpster Fire Nation. That's unfortunate. So
it's nice to see a little depth.
Yeah.
All right, we are swiftly running out of time. Do we have any final thoughts on this episode? Aside from,
No, I'm really excited to get more, like Megan said, in depth with the Galra and things like that. I am a little afraid about Allura's
racism.
Straight up. I mean, like, but obviously it makes sense. It's been 10,000 years. They killed her entire planet. I get it, you know? But at the same time, like, if Keith ends up being part Galra in some way, shape, and form, I feel like that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big problem.
No,
and that's the thing, too, is, like, she's, like, it's one of those things where you have a hard time being mad at her because you're like, I get it, and I like you as a character, but
this is
going to
come back.
And also the fact that we're all like adults and we're all like, hey, Keith's actually a really good guy. You can't place it on the fact that he's got bad whatever. Like, you know, so.
I think that we're borrowing trouble at this point.
Yeah. And I'm just hoping that. Yeah. That's my prediction, is I'm hoping that it doesn't completely
get to that point.
I think at this point it's probably a good idea to skip predictions because most of us have seen the rest of it. Mark has seen beyond these episodes.
I've seen beyond these ones. I just hope that Allura and Shiro just chill out. I know it's getting heavy, but they just need to take a break, get some time to rest.
Go to a beach planet.
Yeah, beach planet.
Beach episode.
Okay, the last thing that we need to touch on is that at the end of our second episode, Zarkon from nowhere.
Yeah.
We gotta figure out what's tracking them. Like, come on now. Let's
get a lot of theories. We got a lot of theories. Which is why I like how they didn't make it super obvious.
They left it ambiguous.
Yeah.
And I think we have a little tiny bit of news and gossip to talk about. Just a little tiny bit.
Is there a release date for season 3? Yes.
That would be a huge bit of news and gossip. What the heck? The Voltron comics that we have. The trade paperback was recently released. So if you guys, you know, if you don't have a pull list, if you're not a big comics person, but you're into Voltron and you want to read the comics, you can get them all in convenient book form.
That's awesome.
So go to your local comic retailer, support them because they are all small businesses.
Mm. Yeah.
And get yourself some Voltron.
Gimme.
Yes, I want.
My understanding is it's a lot of side stories and then it's a lot of character building and just real cute.
I'm okay with this.
So I need this in my life. I'm going to probably wander on down to House of Secrets and get that. So that is me. Mm-hmm. Do we have any final thoughts on these episodes? Anything before we move on?
I'm excited to talk about the next episodes for sure.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the Blade of Marmora, they've got great ninja outfits.
I know. I want, if I could actually be creative and make a cosplay, that would be one of them.
And the holographic face changer?
Yeah.
Dang.
Also, can we talk about how cute it was that his ear just went boop,
boop, boop. Yeah.
I had a moment of like, oh, so cute. You know, you're supposed to be evil, kind of, right?
I like the slender design of it. Yeah. Reminds me of like Eon Flux.
Yeah!
Super cool design.
Look at you.
I had a little bit of Tom Clancy with the three-eyed thing.
Yeah. A little Splinter Cell action.
All right. Well, I think that is all we have for tonight. Thank you guys for watching. Alexis, where can the people find you?
You can find me all over social media, and we're all Shenanigans Will Ensue at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. Right now, I'm currently on 8 to 9 shows, so just follow me, because I'll tell you what they all are on Twitter.
Well, there was one that ended recently. That was Yuri on Ice. Make sure to go back and watch all of those after shows, because it was a heck of a good time. Follow me on Twitter, at Mark Bidonica. It was wonderful joining you for this episode.
Whether
I get to join you in the future or not is dependent on our Red Lion. We'll see you in the future, but thank you.
I hope so. We love having you here. thanks for joining us. This was fun.
Maybe for the finale, we'll form Voltron.
Oh. Yay! Yes! Oh,
I love that. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
You can follow Emma Fife, as she would say, wherever Emma Fifes are sold, at EMMAFYFFE. Those are all Fs as in Frank, not S as in anything else that starts with S. And like I said, she is at Anime Los Angeles this weekend, so go and say hi to her, so that should be super fun. And I am Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, and Instagram at Kiaxe, that is K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. Star Wars Rebels is on hiatus for the next couple of weeks. Arrow is back on Wednesday nights, and Ruby, is every other week, and Steven Universe is next week. What is my life with these shows? We have a Steven Bomb next week, so Steven Universe will be Thursday at 8 p.m., so right before this show. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for watching. Remember to review on iTunes and put the reviews in the hashtag if they're not in the American store. And we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Karan, Karan, the gorgeous man.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.